141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we head into the international break. Scotland's World Cup preparation, how nice does that sound, begins tomorrow at home against Japan. It's the first time back at Hampden since that night against Denmark. So what are the aims and what will the team be as Steve Clark's side take the field? And it's a big night in the Championship, including Partick Thistle up against Ross County. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight you have Dylan McGeoch and Roger Hannah.
I was inspired after listening to the show last night, Gordon. Listening to Gordon DL recount the story of Pickles the dog finding, was it the Jean-Pierre Papin trophy in a hedge? And I thought, this World Cup's the real deal. And I watched the playoffs last night and Northern Ireland out, Republic of Ireland out, Wales out. And I thought, how lucky are we? We are going to these World Cup finals courtesy of Steve Clark and a fantastic group of players. I'm actually excited about tomorrow's friendly against Japan at Hampden, then Ivory Coast on Tuesday night. Tomorrow's a penultimate home game before we go to our first World Cup finals in 28 years. They're all there tomorrow. McTominay, McGinn, Tierney, Robertson, the full cast list. And how can you not get excited about seeing John Souter v Dyson Maeda at Hampden?
And Dylan McGeoch, how are you since we last spoke to you? You've moved over the water, still playing and try to get a move. Last time we spoke to you, I think we played a part. That's the way I'm going to see it. I think we advertised you in the shop window. You got a wee move over there. How's it been?
Yeah, it's been good. As you said, you put me in the shop window and the call went the next night. But yeah, it's back playing, enjoying football again over in Northern Ireland with Ballymena. So yeah, it's been great getting over, getting games and getting that feel again and playing week in, week out. So
good. Well, good to have you. Roger Hannah's alongside him and they're both waiting on you. So 01419511025, what are you thinking tonight? Because the title race is so captivating, because Callum Slattery get banned for diving, because of various other things that have cropped up, feels like we've not really given Scotland the big build up yet. But it is, to use UEFA speak, match day minus one, so surely we can get stuck right in. Are you going along tomorrow? Are you going to Hampden? How are you feeling going back? This is the first time Scotland have been back since that night against Denmark, the best of all time. How much are you looking forward to it? What are you expecting? What are the aims? What can you take away from a friendly at the end of March when everybody's still got club football in their mind, but there is a World Cup looming? What are the aims? What should the main aims be? What do you think Steve Clark's thought process will be? What would you like to see from the team? Is it about continuity, momentum, feel-good factor? Or do you want to see Finlay Curtis pitched in from the start? Do you think he can make a late push to get on the plane? Can someone like Tommy Conway play the game, score a couple of goals, get in the picture for the World Cup in the summer? And what about the goalkeeping situation? Angus Gunn doesn't play for club football, Liam Kelly doesn't play at club football, Scott Bain does, but does Scott Bain be the man who gets the gloves tomorrow or not? Let us know all your thoughts ahead of the game on 01419511025. Like we said, we've not even really got round to giving it the big build up this week because of everything else that's going on. So let's jump right on it. Use that opportunity to get involved in the pre-match discussion. But of course, we wouldn't put a lid on the rest of it because it has been so good. It's been so captivating. We cannot take our eyes off it, whether it's the international break or not. So if it is still the title race or something else that's on your mind, we are here for you. And speaking of title races, it's not just the top flight. Partick Thistle playing before St Johnstone this weekend. We do all this with the top three in the Premiership. So can you, Partick Thistle fans, heading along to Firhill tonight, can you get the win? What does that do psychologically for St Johnstone, who then play after you? So lots to get through on 01419511025.
I like the Friday night football, and I was really disappointed. No offence to the good people of Cally Thistle or Queen of the South, but I was disappointed to see that's the telly game tonight. I was so hoping to see Mark Wilson's Partick Thistle against Ross County. They could close to within 2 points of St Johnstone tonight. St Johnstone play Queen's Park, 1 o'clock tomorrow in Perth. But it wasn't really the football aspect of it, Gordon, I was desperate to see. I want to see Tony Watt sitting in the back of that stand at Firhill with his wee notepad and pencil and a couple of plastic cups with a bit of string between them, shouting down to Alec Ray what's going wrong.
In his new analysis role that he told us about, it's fantastic.
He's actually stopped talking about socks and has started talking about analysis. It's incredible.
First for everything. The Championship's been brilliant, Dylan. If you are, you're over in Northern Ireland, you're on your own, you're away from the family, surely Friday night is prime viewing for you over there.
It definitely is, yeah. That's my Friday night sorted. Make sure I've got everything ready for my tea for the kick-off time, and then I'm not sure about the punditry right enough, puts me off, but yeah, it's been great. It keeps me busy on a Friday night, and as you said, there's a lot to play for, bottom and top.
That's true, yeah, with Ross County tonight as well, you know, unthinkable, yeah, the way that they've dropped.
It really is. I saw them a couple of weeks ago for Super Scoreboard at St Johnstone. They only lost 1-0, but they never looked as if they were going to score a goal. I was surprised they went 2 up against Neil Lennon's Dunfermline last week, and I thought, oh, they've maybe turned a corner, and then they lost a couple of goals and dropped what looked like, you know, a couple of important points. It's a huge week, because anything they can get at Firhill tonight would be precious, and then what a 6-pointer next week against Airdrie, the battle at the bottom.
Well, if the Championship is your thing, then it's our thing. 0141 951 1025. Heading along to Firhill tonight, we'd love to hear from you. As we said, the domestic scene in the top flight never goes away, so if you've still got the title race on your mind despite the fact that it's the international break, we'll take it, and let's really crank up the build up to Scotland against Japan, because it's not really just the build up to Scotland against Japan, is it? It is the build up to the World Cup. How nice is it, Roger Hanna, to have friendlies in March that really mean something and they're geared towards something? And as you alluded to at the top, how extra nice is it to sit back last night with the feet up and look at the potential heartbreak that is on offer, the jeopardy, the tension, and know that we don't need to worry about any of it?
Yeah, and it was a horrible night for any fans of Wales, Northern Ireland or the Republic. They would have big dreams the same way the Scottish fans did. They would believe they could go to America. They were all in the draw. They could all see who they would potentially get at the finals this summer, Gordon. And then it all went wrong last night. It was a big ask for Northern Ireland against Reno Gattuso's Italy, and they just couldn't quite do it. But, I mean, the heartbreak for the other two. Wales led until the 86th minute, then losing penalties. They were actually ahead in the shootout. Likewise, the Republic were ahead in the shootout, having blown a 2-goal lead during the game. You know, it's just really, really gut-wrenching for all of them.
Do you think, see with Bellamy obviously crashing out the World Cup, do you think that puts him on the radar for Celtic?
Look at this guy. He's been away over playing. He's fine-tuned his punditry skills. He's thinking, just drop a wee bomb in at the start of the show and see where the calls come in. I like his style.
Well, listen, somebody's going to have to get a job. I don't think it's going to be Martin O'Neill. And I think it is a wide-open field. Craig Bellamy is a shout. Wait to see his face go here when I say James Bertolasco.
Boring. Yeah. Robbie, heard it all before.
Robbie Keane must be a contender as well, I would think. And, you know, Sean Maloney? I don't know.
If Steve Clarke wins a World Cup with Scotland, steps aside at the top, I'd settle for Jens taking the Scotland job thereafter.
And Steve Clarke for Celtic?
Oh, that would be a good one for the phones as well, right enough.
Yeah.
Wow, we're really getting ahead of ourselves now.
But look, listen, we should be. It's going to be really interesting, because the SFA have still to make a move to offer a contract to Steve Clarke. This is the most successful manager that I can remember with a Scotland team. No manager I can remember has taken us to 3 major finals, 2 Euros and a World Cup. His contract expires in a matter of weeks' time, and they haven't thought about offering him a new one yet.
Can you? Is it just, you know, the way it's fallen, do you just have to wait and see how this World Cup goes?
No, the optics, you know, and Andy Robertson, the Scotland captain, was up doing the media at Hampden at lunchtime, out of contract at Liverpool in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Robertson spoke openly saying, I will have my future sorted before we get in the plane to go to America, because I don't think it does anybody any good to have that uncertainty.
Sure, but a manager's future is so much more closely linked with what the team does this summer.
You're worried we'll lose to Haiti, is that what you're saying?
I'm not worried that we will, but if that were to happen and you've signed a new contract 3 weeks previously, how does that play out?
Do you think just kind of the feeling coming off the back of the World Cup would determine the long-term future of Steve Clarke? I think, obviously, no one's expecting us to go and win the tournament, but if we do well and good account ourselves and get a couple of good performances and good wins, they might look, right, that's going to be the future. Or if it's, hopefully not, but a few negative kind of results and the fans aren't too happy, do we do we think it's ran its course and look,
I know what you mean, but if you're the SFA, and any time you hear anyone speaking, they'll say, oh, we love Steve Clarke, he's brilliant, what a job he's done. Mm-hmm. The optics should be that you believe in the manager, yeah, and you believe in the squad, and you believe this team's going to do well in the finals. Therefore, we are putting our faith in this guy here. We're going to offer him a contract. There you are.
Is this the difficulty of international football, though, where it is so sort of knee-jerk? You know, every game at a tournament matters so much that your love for Stevie Clarke may be there, but that love might also be significantly damaged if a game against Haiti doesn't go to plan. Now, you think it should be strong enough love to conquer all this?
Yeah, and you should also have belief and confidence. You know, if you go there and you lose 1-0 to Haiti and you haven't given the manager a contract, people will turn around and say, I mean, you didn't believe in him, you didn't even want to give him a contract.
An excuse.
If you lose to Haiti, there are no excuses.
Yeah. 0141 951.
I remember Costa Rica, and I even remember Peru. There are no excuses.
Well, the good thing is I don't, so you don't need to bother me with that stuff. I'm not interested in your negativity.
It's not nice. No negativity.
951.
Captain positive, yeah.
1025. Stevie is first through. Stevie, what do you think about these friendlies then? What's the aim? What can be achieved? Who do you want to see?
Again, obviously, you know, I think if he picks anybody out of these two squads, I think they're just going to be passengers, obviously, at the tournament. And if he needs some, he needs some. Again, Tommy Conway, I think I'd mentioned yesterday as well about maybe he should try and get a move to the Old Firm if he wants to play regularly for Scotland. I mean, because it will increase his chances. And I agree with Roger. I mean, obviously, I remember the games as well, but I just think there's a difference now. The Denmark game, I was so nervous. And then, if you see it on YouTube, my own Jim White show, I was all over the place. I was on the coffee table. I was there, the couch, on the couch. Everything, you know, just watching the game. But I just think with Stevie Clarke, guys, you know, with the next Euros being a home tournament kind of thing, it might sway him to stay on for that. And I agree with what you say. When we're winning, we love him. When we get beat, we'll like, get rid of him, get Derek McInnes, get this, get that. But I think there's a difference with these two games. Ivory Coast and Japan are to prepare us for Morocco and Brazil. I don't know what the guys think about that.
You know what you make of it, Roger? You know, even the opposition is quite interesting. It's clearly done an honour. We're not playing an Asian team at the World Cup, but you know, clearly it's about trying to play non-European teams. Steve Clarke made no secret of that. Such is the way of the footballing world since we last qualified for a World Cup in 98. That was Japan's first, I think.
Yeah, and they've qualified for everyone since
then. This is their eighth. They're going for a fifth appearance in the last 16. Yeah. They're talking about, you know, anything less than quarterfinals will be poor. They beat Brazil in their last set of friendlies, so it's a proper test, isn't it?
It is a proper test. They're a proper team. I think any squad that doesn't pick Rio Hitachi or Kogo Furuhashi for a year must be a decent squad. You know, it must have good players in there. You look through and you see the clubs they're playing for, so this will be a proper test, as will the Ivory Coast. That said, I still would like to see some of the fringe players get at least some game time, because you're not going to find out anything about John McGinn and Scott McTominay in the next 5 days, but you might find something about Finlay Curtis or Dominic Hyam or Andy Irving. And I've had in my mind for a while, Gordon, I reckon there's about 22 or 23 nailed on to go, just because of the loyalty that Steve Clarke shows to his players and because he will believe they've earned their seat on the plane. I still think there's 3 or 4 places up for grabs on that plane.
But do you have to be on your toes, Dylan? Because Roger said 3 or 4. That can become 5 or 6 if there's injuries.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, the chances are, I've accused him of being negative. Is there a high chance somebody gets injured? You know, possibly that's the way football works sometimes. So
yeah, there's always a chance. There's always
Kenny
a chance.
Kenny McLean and Lyndon Dykes the last time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Lewis Ferguson.
Yeah, there's a few. So, well, fingers crossed, there's no for us. But there's always that chance where you need to kind of broaden what you're looking at. And as you said, the majority that Steve Clarke showed loyalty to his squads through the years. And I think that's where they probably got a lot of success, because by all the interviews and stuff, it feels much like a club environment. And that's no coincidence from picking the same players regularly, and obviously adding your Finlay Curtis and a few others that are kind of making a last run to get in the squad. So yeah, it's a good game. I think I'll ask questions of the squad, which you would rather have the answers to now than leave it too late until the summer. So yeah, I hope to see some of the kind of new additions getting some game time, and yeah, they can grab the jersey and definitely grab their ticket for the plane the way over.
Is there a balance to be struck though? Because don't mean to get too romantic about it, but you know, it's the first time back at Hampden since Denmark. You're trying to sort of recapture that feel good factor. Everyone spoke about the drop off once we qualified for the Euros. We went in with no form, no momentum. Yeah. You leaving McTominay, McGinn, etc. out just with a view to look at new players, and then you have more chance of losing the game, and you know, and so on.
You know, McTominay tends to play 90 minutes every game for Scotland.
Yeah.
I think in these games you could take McTominay off after 55 or 60 minutes.
Put the mural on.
Put Andy Irving on. You know, try things like that. You know, Grant Hanley hasn't really played a lot of football, so maybe it's a time for Dom Higham. The goalkeeping thing, as you mentioned at the top of the show, worries me. Craig Gordon has now missed an awful lot of football for Hearts. Craig Gordon's still not fit. He's 43 years of age. So Steve Clark's going to have decisions to make. Gunn and Kelly don't play football at the minute. I wouldn't be averse to giving them 90 minutes each in these two games.
What does that say to Scott Bain though, who's the only one out of the three who is playing for his club?
Yeah, Scott Bain has always been the one that's kind of added in when someone's been out injured. Sure. I think Gunn and Kelly are ahead of him in the pecking order.
Do you go with giving them each a game and then have a question mark of who you're going to start, or do you just pick one, give them a few games and give them a run in the team playing with the same players
back four and stuff,
and getting that kind of...
Let me ask Stevie, just because one name you mentioned was Tommy Conway. He's not been in loads of recent squads. Lawrence Shankland, I think most people imagine, will come back into the squad, but do you see that as an area that he could fight his way in? Is he one of those guys you're looking at in the next couple of fixtures?
I think obviously, as I say, as I'm watching the Bristol City games again, even the boy Higham, I mean, he's a great player for Wrexham and that guy's, but you just sit and say, on the goalkeeping one, it's Gunn and Gordon, simple as. So, I know what Roger's saying, but see, when you're a goalkeeper, mate, see, when you're at the camp and you're getting your training and stuff like that makes you ready for it, because he's got the experience. So, yes, I mean, he takes us in there. I think it's committing soccer suicide if you don't play either one of the two boys. And that's just my own professional opinion as a goalkeeper coach. But I think we need a goal scorer. And I think Conway, Adams, Shankland, I mean, all these guys, Dykes, I mean, we're going to need them. So we have all three games and hopefully more. We're going to need every one of them. But they're not going to get many chances and we're going to have to take them.
The problem is, if we're being totally honest, Roger, it's a great debate about he should be in instead of him and he shouldn't. But if we're being completely honest and realistic, we're still Scotland, and we're not leaving any world beaters at home, right? There's nobody that is going to be left out, and it's going to be an absolute disgrace. You know, we don't have enough good players to,
like a Trent,
exactly, right? There's no Trent Alexander-Arnold out there that everyone's moaning about being left behind. So, you know, is it the fact that Tommy Conway maybe does offer something slightly different from the other strikers? If you're talking about championship strikers, Hurst is in there, Conway's in there, clearly as a nod to the continuity. People have pointed out that although he's not been great for Scotland before, Ollie McBurney's got more goals than them at the same level this season. It doesn't feel like there's a lot between these guys.
I was actually surprised Tommy Conway was in the squad. Kieran Bowie had been the guy in possession, if you like. He was in the previous squads. He got a goal in Serie A the other week, a winner for Hellas Verona. And I was surprised that Conway got the nod ahead of Bowie. I know Conway went to the Euros after Lyndon Dykes got injured the last time. So there's not much, Gordon, as you say, between a George Hurst, a Kieran Bowie, a Tommy Conway, an Ollie McBurney, guys like that. And that's why I say that if there's three or four or five, however many spare seats we think they're going to be, this could be Tommy Conway's only chance to grab one.
Stevie, thank you very much. What do you think out there? Give us a call right now. It would be the perfect opportunity because we can line you up next.
Pepsi Prebiotic Cola in original and cherry vanilla. that Pepsi taste you love with no artificial sweeteners, only 30 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of prebiotic fiber. That great Pepsi taste with even more to love. Pepsi Prebiotic Cola. Unbelievably Pepsi.
The semi-annual warehouse clearance event is on at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $1,000 store-wide with our lifetime price guarantee and 100% comfort guarantee. Why shop anywhere else? Limited time clearance savings only at Sleep Outfitters. Visit sleepoutfitters.com.
Reggie, I just sold my car online.
Let's go, Grandpa. Wait, you did?
Yep, on Carvana. Just put in the license plate, answered a few questions, got an offer in minutes. Easier than setting up that new digital picture frame.
You don't say.
Yeah, they're even picking it up tomorrow. Talk about fast.
Wow, way to go. So, about that picture frame.
Forget about it. Until Carvana makes one, I'm not interested.
Car selling made easy. On
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
0141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Dylan McGeoch are here at 0141-951-1025. So do get in touch, let us know what you're thinking. Let's hear a bit from Steve Clark. We were speaking about the team lineup earlier and what might or might not happen. I think there's a sort of feeling that Steve Clark isn't one for surprises, but listening to this, maybe he does fancy mixing it up a bit.
Obviously, we've got quite a number of players that are maybe coming back from a longer-term injury or who are carrying little niggles at this stage of the season. So some of the selections might raise an eyebrow a little bit, but my job is to make sure that the players come out of these fit well and ready for the end of the season at the clubs and obviously to be ready for the summer.
Right. The eyebrow comment in isolation might make you think, Roger, he's going to do something wacky, but listen to the full context. Is he actually talking about prioritising injuries and fitness first? So yeah, maybe that does mean, I don't know, John McGinn, who is just coming back from injury, or someone else, you know, is that what that means? Doesn't start the games?
I think we'll start games. Right. As we said earlier about McTominay, a lot of these guys play 90 minutes every time because they're the key members of the team. I don't think that will happen this time. You know, you might see McTominay for an hour and, you know, McGinn for an hour and things like that. I would be personally more interested to see, even if it's just 25 minutes in either of the games, for Finlay Curtis, for Andy Irving, for Dom Higham, can Nathan Patterson, you know, come back in, a quality player who looked as if he was going to have a big international career ahead of him and hasn't really had the opportunities at Everton? What does he do with a goalkeeping position? Is it just as simple as Angus Gunn goes back in for the two games? I wouldn't mind seeing a bit of George Hurst and a bit of Tommy Conway. We know what Adams and Dykes can do for Scotland. And Adams and Dykes will be the first names when strikers are getting selected, but who is the backup going to be? We don't have Lauren Shankland this time, so I'm interested to see some of the peripheral players, Gordon, the guys that aren't sure they're on the plane. Can they make sure they're on the plane?
Is he, in fairness to Steve Clark or whoever the manager would be in this circumstance, Dylan, I wonder if we are sort of ignoring how the schedule's changed now in international football. And you're talking about, you know, never mixes it up or doesn't give people a chance. We don't really have friendlies anymore.
No.
And that's the point. You know, the Nations League comes around, it's World Cup qualification campaign. So when do you just try Tommy Conway up front? So although people say, you know, we never get to see it, maybe that's why.
Yeah, I don't think obviously there's as many games, and these managers need to think about results as well and coming up to tournaments. And obviously it's been great that we've managed to get to the last few. So every game matters. It's not, as I said, these games are designed to question the squads, question formations, and hopefully we can come up with some solutions that we might face in the summer. But I think with the comments about the squad and stuff, I think maybe like your Shanklands and stuff, might not play obviously as many minutes just coming back from injury, and you said John McGinn as well. So it's interesting to see, but hopefully a few like Finlay Curtis and stuff can get some game time.
Nadeem is on the line. Hi Nadeem.
Hi Gordon, Roger.
Hi Nadeem. Good, how are you, more importantly?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good. I just listened to you talking about, I think it was Roger here earlier on. Gordon made the point about Stevie Clark's contract and what might happen after the World Cup and so on. I suppose maybe I've got a different slant on it, Roger. I was thinking that in terms of any football team, you obviously want to see progression as the years go on and as the games go on, I suppose. And for me, although, I mean, Steve Clark's done brilliant, he's absolutely been one of the best Scotland managers ever, in my opinion, in terms of what he's done for the country and getting it to two qualifications for the Euros in a row. But at those two Euros, for me, there was no progression. You know, we've done the exact same. We've got a point out of all three games. We won a game. So we drew a game and we lost the other two. So for me, there's no progression there. So maybe the SDFA are thinking to themselves, you know, yeah, he's done great in getting us qualified. And we should be qualifying because we're a good side now. But when we get to a major tournament, you know, we need to wait and see if can Steve Clarke take us to that next level? Has he got the ability to take us to that next level and get us out of the group? And if he can do that, then I think he will offer him a new contract. But if he can't, if we struggle again like we've done the last two Euros, then I think he might not.
It's interesting because Nadine makes a good point. If you're talking about tournaments and group stages, but in a way, the fact that this is a World Cup is also progression because we've not been there since 1998. So it just depends what sort of weight you put on that. You know, usually the teams that sort of kick up a real stink about not progressing from World Cup groups are the teams that get to World Cups regularly. But at the same time, the team's right. You can't just turn up and roll over and say we've not been here since 98.
Yeah, it depends how you define progress and how you define, you know, speed of development. I've been around the world watching Scotland for the last 30 years. I've seen some utter dross, Gordon. Mm. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
I've seen Bertie Vogt in Moldova in nights like that. And you just think they should shut the doors of Hampden and not bother again. So there has been progress. Getting to the two Euros was progress. There were mitigating factors, I think. I remember Steve Clarke speaking after the first Euros. That squad had never been to a major tournament. They were taking on Croatia, who have a million caps, and the Czechs, who have half a million caps, and they were taking on England at Wembley. And it was difficult for this young group of players. And he said, they'll get better with the experience. And they have got better with the experience. Now, in Germany, if you remember, the first game, 10 men, home nation, bad night. The Swiss, we got a point, McTominay's goal, and it was down to that last game against Hungary, and it was a kind of rope-a-dope thing. If you get the penalty for the challenge, Stuart Armstrong is a different game. You don't. You throw everything at it, and you get caught at the end, and it looks bad. But it's development. It is progress from not being at previous tournaments. Now, first World Cup in 28 years, I actually think that there's an opening there for history, because with 48 teams, we might win that first game against Haiti and guarantee almost being through. That's how this tournament's kind of shaping up. So that for me would be progress. If we can get to the last 32 of the World Cup, to a knockout stage, my goodness, what a boost that would be for the game.
See where Nadeem's coming from though, Dylan. I think a lot of fans will feel like that. You know, if it was to just be another group stage exit, what does that say for progress?
Yeah.
But then against like we said, the counter of, we've not been to a World Cup since the late 90s, so, you know, get there and try and build. I feel like you can see both sides of that.
Yeah, I think Nadine makes a great point, and kind of two things can be right at once. I think, obviously, it's great to be there and progress to even get to a World Cup. Half of the boys in the squad probably never seen Scotland in a World Cup, so there has been progress, but now we're kind of been at these tournaments, the last few anyway, we kind of want to see us going for it a little bit and some positive results. And yeah, I touched on it at the start of the show that I think probably the SFA are thinking, do we wait to see what the feeling is after this kind of World Cup, and is there a few kind of positive results, or is it we maybe should have done a bit more and we could get more out of the squad of players and then kind of decide what we're going to do in the future? But yeah, I think it was a good point from Nadeem. Yeah.
I'll give you another reason for offering my contract. And you mentioned Craig Bellamy, and we were talking about Robbie Keane and Sean Maloney and James Bertolasco and what have you, candidates for the Celtic job. If Steve Clarke leaves Hampden, who on earth's the next Scotland manager going to be?
Is that the balance, Nadeem, or the risk? You know, if you say, right, that's it, they're not seeing enough progress, you need to go back to the drawing board. How confident are we get somebody else in? And that person's as successful at qualifying for tournaments as Steve Clarke is, because we're probably not at the stage where we can take tournament qualification for granted yet, are we?
That's a good point, and I suppose that is the question, isn't it, Gordon? You know, who's out there that could come in if Steve Clarke didn't want to stay on? Who would come in and take his place? That's a very good, and I don't have an answer for that. Do you know, there's no doubt there that for me, David Moyes would maybe be the next next great kind of manager, but he's obviously said mm-hmm. he doesn't want to be at the moment. So, but for me, the earlier point that Roger made about the fact that, you know, the Euros in Germany, but where I was at all three games, and we just played absolute draws. We didn't play well at all. But like, I don't know if you remember, Roger, a few years ago, Wales qualified for the first tournament in like 58
years. Yeah, 2016,
yep. Yep. And they ended up getting to the quarterfinals in yeah. that year, you know. So I understand what you're saying, you know, it was new to us, and absolutely was, but it was also new to Wales as well, and how well did they do getting through. So for me, I think that there's still a bit of a balance here, but I just think if Steve Clarke can go there in the summer and do well, for me, well would be progress in the next stage, right? If it does that, then I think that's fine. But if it's the same old, where you're struggling to we should be beating Haiti every single day. We should be beating Haiti. So if we can get through, great. But if we struggle again, same as what we've done the last two tournaments, I think maybe the time is up. And who do you find? I don't know. You know, it doesn't need to be anybody, it doesn't need to be a Scottish manager. You know, I know we've favoured that recently, but. Yeah, I for me, the SFA, I think I've done the right thing by holding off just now and see how they're going to the World Cup. I hope it does brilliant because I want us to do amazing, but I just don't know.
It's tough at the top, isn't it? But that's the way it should be, Roger, you know, as well. You know, you get to World Cups and you want to feel that you belong there. You want to give a good account of yourselves. Outlining hypotheticals. Beat Haiti, but have a pretty tough night against Morocco and Brazil, which... they are good teams. Look at where they're ranked. Look at what they've done. Yeah. Is that? I mean, yeah. That is then a failure because you've gone out of the World Cup. But is it the type of failure that there are degrees of failure? I guess is what I'm trying to say.
There are degrees of failure. Now you could take on Morocco and lose 2-1. Morocco got to the World Cup semi-finals 4 years ago. First African team to do so. They've just, and you might have read about it in rather contentious circumstances, won the African Cup of Nations. They have got
easy for you to say.
Exactly. The lad for PSG, brimming with players, you know, Brahim Diaz, they've got all of this talent, Mazraoui from Man United, Bono the goalkeeper, everyone you look, there's a talented player there. So losing to them wouldn't be a disgrace. Losing to Brazil wouldn't be a disgrace. As you say, there are degrees of failure. I think if we can progress beyond the group, something that no Scottish team has ever done before, then that would be a success. And by doing so, it would really confirm everything Steve Clarke has said about the development of this squad.
How much then, listen to what you're saying, how much does it come down to what happens against Haiti? Because if you beat Haiti and go out, Haiti but still go out, is that very different from not beating them?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Listen, I mean, Scotland at the World Cup's mad, Gordon. I mean, Scotland once lost to Peru, drew with Iran, and beat the Netherlands, who had been back-to-back World Cup finals. They lost to Costa Rica and then beat Sweden in the finals. So you never quite know what you're going to get from Scotland at a World Cup. Morocco and Brazil, I've just said they're good. They are good. They don't terrify me. I'd rather play them than play France or Spain, I'll tell you that now, or Portugal. Or even the reigning champions, Argentina. So it's a group that offers an opportunity to get through. The Haiti game is pivotal. I'm glad it's first. Mm-hmm. We'll go there full of hope, and it's a game we should win and we can win.
Is that the one that, you know, that it brings its own risks, that, Dylan? Because if we're talking about the Euros, and this is what I said about international football being unforgiving. Look, the Czech Republic game went down as this disaster. It felt like it, but you know, it's still the Czech Republic. It's not like that's some sort of humiliating defeat. Same as the last one. Everyone bemoans the performance against Hungary, and it was rotten. I was in Germany, and it was a really grim night. But again, you know, it's not in isolation. It's not like these are.
Yeah, it's
disastrous.
Not there with the worst results we've ever had. But
because everyone's getting this World Cup and looking at that first game and saying we should win it, it needs to get that over the line.
Just the way the squad's progressed, and obviously we've went to a few tournaments now, so there's almost an expectation to go and compete, which I think this squad is more than capable of doing. And as you said, if we go out and lose that first game, then that would be a real disappointment. But hopefully we can get a positive start. And then the two games, Morocco and Brazil, listen, we can take something from the games. But if we get beat or get a few kind of negative results, then it's how that happens. I mean, there's a way kind of getting beat. If we're in the game and we're going for it, we've got a game plan, we're close, or there's a red card or something, the circumstances might change the result. But if we similar to the Euros, if there's a few performances where the fans can't really buy into and it's a bit flat, then I think that'd be the kind of frustration from the Scotland.
I've now realised, genuinely believe, Gordon, that the players are at a stage in their own individual developments. The McTominays, the McGinns, the Christies, the Gilmers, people like that, they're not afraid of Brazil. They're not afraid of Morocco. They play these players individually at club level, week in, week out, in Serie A, the English Premier League or whatever, and they'll beat them from time to time. I don't think, you know, we say, oh, it's Brazil, you know, oh my goodness, it's, you know, Vinicius, no, these characters. I'm not sure the Scotland players think like that. I think they go into these games believing.
I think the first game's probably the biggest game, really. I think I've been there as a player. The big occasions, the big games, they're kind of the easy games to get up for.
I've finally changed my mind, though. I now agree with you. I think this whole contract thing might be a distraction because it's causing us to talk about doomsday scenarios when we should just be enjoying the build-up to the World Cup.
No, I'm enjoying it.
Let's talk about Japan. Nadim, you do make some good points, which we thank you for. Let me tell you about this before we go any further. If you've not heard already, Clyde One have launched a brand new Rio Original podcast. It's a true crime podcast, which I know loads of you will be into. It's called Beware Book, and actually focuses on a series of unsolved murders which took place right here in Glasgow between 91 and 2005. It was put together by our very own Clyde One News team, hosted by Colette McGonigal and Callum McQuaid, who you'll hear on air every day, I'm sure, if you're listening throughout the day. And they've been speaking to families involved, re-examining investigations and so on. So everything you're looking for, really, from a true crime podcast. There are 7 episodes in total. The first 2 are out now. You can listen on the Rio app for free or wherever you get your podcasts. And there are new episodes every Monday. So check it out and give us a call next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah's here. So is Dylan McGeoch, and they are ready for your calls, whether it is on the Scotland game tomorrow, a double header of friendlies coming up, building up to the World Cup. If you want to talk domestic football, we're here for you as well. So let's dive straight back in with Sean. I think he's got a bit of both on his mind. Sean, what have you got for us first? We'll go Scotland first.
Yes, go for Scotland.
Go on then.
So I was a couple of calls back. It was a gentleman on said that he would prefer Craig Gordon to start. For me, it's Angus Gunn all day. He's playing and training. Well, he's not really playing, but he's training at a higher level, training with better players. Craig Gordon's injured at the moment, and for the nostalgic part of it would be good for Craig Gordon to play, like growing up watching him. But he's injured at the moment, he's not playing. I feel like Angus Gunn's got to be the guy. He's never really let us down before. That was kind of my point, just feeling like he's training with better players, training at a higher level, training against better players, training every day, and I don't actually think that another goalie would get a sniff in these friendlies, to be honest. I think he'll probably give Angus Gunn the game time that he needs to be sharper for coming up to the tournament.
I get things have changed a bit because Craig Gordon is currently injured, but is another complication how he did pretty well when he came in for the last few games that he played, didn't he? He made some big saves.
Yeah, no, he did, definitely did. But also Angus Gunn made some big saves as well in the games that he played before as well when he was out injured. But I just feel like if we're trying to do like sweeper keeper coming off his line, mobility wise, I know he's a great shot stopper, Craig Gordon, but to be fair, he's not really as mobile as he probably once was. And I just feel like Angus Gunn, as I say, training, probably staying as sharp as he possibly can, I think is probably the only way to go.
Roger.
Personally, if Craig Gordon's fit, for me, he's still the number one. You think to the save he made at Dens earlier in the season in the last minute with Hearts, I still think he's a cut above his rivals, even at 43 years of age. The big but is he's not fit, and he hasn't been fit for a period of time, and I don't know when he's going to be fit. So it will be, in terms of selection, this will be the thing that will be causing Steve Clarke most angst. Angus Gunn is decent. I didn't think he was brilliant at the last Euros, I have to say.
Yeah, I wondered if, when Sean said Angus Gunn's never let us down, I'm not saying he has let the nation down, but I wonder if people would be as confident in that, because I think he did get a bit of stick at the last Euros, didn't he?
And since then, he's lost first choice status at his football club. You know, he was playing Championship football, then he's gone to the Premiership. He's the Premier League, he's third choice at Forest. He's not seeing any action at all. So that's not going to improve him in any way. Liam Kelly's not seen any football at Rangers. And Scott Bain, who was outstanding in the first half of the season, has picked a sort of awkward time to throw a couple in for Falkirk in the last couple of weeks. So this will be causing real issues for Steve Clarke as to who he picks.
Yeah, it's a big question mark. I think that'll be one of the big kind of pains in his side, that he's the goalkeeper situation. Obviously, I think if Craig Gordon's playing week in, week out and he's fit, he's a number one choice, but he's not. So he's probably going to make a choice on, if it, as it stands, who's going to be the number one. And it probably looks like Angus Gunn. So he needs he needs game time. I would say so, I think.
Because, I mean, he's at least been Scotland number one, as Sean alluded to.
Yeah.
You know, for a period, Liam Kelly and Scott Bain haven't.
Yeah, he's got more experience, as you said. He played at the Euros and obviously he came under a little bit of criticism. But I think just from the experience of being away and playing these games and the big build-up and stuff, and obviously Scott Bain's playing regularly, and as Roger said, he's dropped a few and made a few mistakes. But yeah, I think Angus Gunn needs a game time, and I think it'd be a good choice to go with him and then reassess in the summer just before we got on the plane. And there's obviously a few warm up games as well that Craig Gordon might come into the question there.
What I will give you, Sean, how good was, remember Angus Gunn's save against Greece when we needed it to, you know, in one of the previous games when he tipped one out of the top corner? So the type of thing you believe he can recapture.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, Craig Gordon is a fantastic goalkeeper. I'm not ruling him out at all. Completely as a good goalkeeper. I just mean he's not. Just the whole point of not training was the whole point I was trying to make. But I feel like he's not really covered himself in glory sometimes either. And gets one of the hardest positions to play in football. And I just mean neither of our goalies are actually playing. I just mean Angus Gunn's fit, he's sharp, he's training. And I mean, he probably will come back in and play for these games, but then, as you say, it probably gives Steve Clarke thoughts to go in the summer again.
I know these things aren't always that easy, Roger. You know, we act as if it's a computer game and you can just take yourself out of one team, put yourself in another. I wonder when we'll hear from Angus Gunn and what he'll say about, I was almost certain he would move in January to try and get game time with this in mind, because there was, I think he spoke at one of the Scotland camps towards the end of last year, and he was very honest, talking almost about how, because players don't like to speak about their club situation that much, or, you know, land their club in it. But I remember along the lines of, he wanted out in January, and, you know, he moved to Nottingham Forest thinking he was going to play more than he was, and it was something he would look to get to fix in January, and that didn't happen. I wonder why Forest not willing to let him go. There could be a number of reasons, but I did think he would. I hoped he would, obviously.
The problem he has is you're not sure who your manager's going to be week to week at Nottingham Forest.
I don't think the owner would take too well to that either, if he heard that as well.
Exactly.
He was signed, probably back up to Matt Sales. That was probably how it was sold to
him.
And
they added another, didn't they?
They added another. Yeah. That other, John Victor, then get injured. And you thought, oh, well, Angus has got a chance. And then they signed Stefan Ortega from Man City to cover for the injured guy. They have clearly no intention of picking Angus Gunn anytime soon. I think he would try to get out in January. Sometimes, Dylan will tell you, sometimes it's easier said than done. You might want out, but for that transfer to happen, the club that own you need to sanction it, and you need to find somebody to take you. And it's not always easy, you know, as easy as you would like it to be.
Big weekend for you though, Sean, because you're a Partick Thistle fan as well, is that right?
Yes, I am.
What are you thinking tonight?
Biggest game of the season, every week until we can't catch them, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
I feel more nervous tonight than I did last week, if I'm being totally honest, just because we won the game in hand on Tuesday night, and it only matters if you go and win again tonight and put more pressure on them. But
how mad is that? It's like, you know, when the season goes on, you do genuinely just get more nervous than the last one, don't you? Because, you know, the stakes get higher every time.
Yeah, exactly. As I said, the game in hand was a massive game in hand for us. And, I mean, going tonight and going within 2 points of them, that puts a bit of pressure on them tomorrow. Queen's Park are going well, so hopefully they can do us a favour. And they're just praying then at the end of the day. If they win every game at the end of the season and win the league, then fair play. But I don't think they will.
It's interesting. You never know how teams are going to react to pressure. If Thistle could get to within 2 points, St Johnstone have got Queen's Park tomorrow. St Johnstone don't have a great record against Queen's Park this season. If you remember, they dropped points at Lesser Hampden a few weeks ago, so it puts a bit of pressure on them. It's all Thistle can do. I see Gary Mackay-Stevens on the bench tonight for the first time. It's all they can do. Just keep winning the games, keep winning the games, and see how St Johnstone deal with the pressure. St Johnstone have to go to Arbroath next weekend. Not easy.
Yeah, I think Thistle have been great. As you said, the injuries and stuff that they've had of late, and the game during the week was massive, and then it even gets bigger tonight. So it'll be the old classic, take one game at a time, but all they can do is put the pressure on tonight, go within 2 points, and then see what happens at the weekend.
Sean, enjoy your night if you can. That was Sean, a Partick Thistle fan, from Ayr, talking Jags, talking Scotland as well. He's got a lot on his plate this weekend. You, though, could go into the weekend on a high if you get a victory on this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Roger Hanna, you never know, maybe out of sorts. Friday night's not his slot. You know, it's like playing out of position or playing away, playing on AstroTurf, something like that for you, maybe. No?
No.
No, I'm trying my best to give you a chance here on Roger Hanna. It's been a while since Dylan McGeoch played, so get your calls in. And we will speak to you very soon. You must call before 7, though, if you want to play Beat the Pundit.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Dylan McGeoch are here this time tomorrow. Scotland will have finished, in fact, they're friendly against Japan. So what are you expecting? What can be gained from it? What are the aims? Do you want to see things mixed up with the team? Who does that involve? Give us all your thoughts ahead of the friendly against Japan as we build up to the World Cup. It's a big night in the Championship on the domestic front. Partick Thistle amongst those in action against Ross County. And speaking of the domestic front, there is not a day on this show this season that we won't talk about the title race at some point. So give us a call and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yes, it is Beat the Pundit time. We've had some interesting battles on Beat the Pundit this week. I'm going to mention it every night now. Did you hear about Alex, the aviation expert Ray, as they're now calling him the other night?
Listen, I thought that was absolutely terrific. To, you know, logic.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually putting a bit of logic to answer the tiebreaker. I thought it was great.
Dare I say it, you, with all your Beat the Pundit prowess, I don't think you would have come up with that on the tiebreaker the way he did.
The one thing I was thinking at the time, is that the speed the planes fly at? Or has he just made that up?
No, it is.
Is it?
Well, that's the thing. When he said it, the producer, a very loose Google check, I don't want to upset plane spotters out there.
Uh-huh.
And yet, it's roughly the sort of average speed that they would travel at.
See, I mean, you wouldn't think, Dylan, that on a show on a Wednesday night, Alec Ray could come out with the revelation that he's at dinner with Eric Clapton, and it's only the second most interesting thing he said.
Wow.
In fact, the third most interesting thing he said after revealing Tony Watt's now the Thistle analyst.
It was quite the night. Hopefully it's a bit more straightforward on Beat the Pundit this evening.
And I'll explain to you later, Pickles the dog, Greyfriars Bobby, and grey-haired DL.
The tiebreakers look a bit more straightforward tonight. Let's see if we get there, though. First, though, John's in Moody's Burn. How are you, John?
Hey, I'm good, how are you?
Can I put this down as your Beat the Pundit debut, or are you a repeat offender?
Yes.
Yeah?
No, that's my debut, yep.
What are you thinking tonight? Roger Hanna, fancy tackling him?
Oh, no, not a chance, thank Rogers. Rogers pretty smart, to be honest.
It's a Friday, John, you never know.
No offence, Dylan.
I've got 100% win record, so.
Well, you played 1-1-1.
Yeah.
Do you know what, though? I've got a confession to make to people like you. I've been campaigning to get the people who've played once and twice scrubbed off from the league table, because it's confusing me when I look and go, Dylan McGeoch's top, and then there I go, well, he's played once. But what I have got is I've got a wee sub table below now for the people who've only played a couple of times.
Yeah.
And then once you graduate, there we go. See, it's producer Chris, very organised wee spreadsheet. I hope it was him and not someone else who'll be angry at me for missing them out. John, if you listen up, we're going to toss the coin and find out your opponent. The blue side of the coin will be for Dylan McGeoch and the red side for Roger Hanna. So let's see what we've got here this evening. Friday night's Beat the Pundit will be played by Roger Hanna. Sorry, John.
Good luck, John.
He does start on -1, though. So, John, between you and me, I'll read your questions really fast and try and get through them. Right, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Craig Bellamy joined Celtic on loan from which English team?
Okay, pass.
Which former Rangers player started for Bosnia-Herzegovina last night?
Kapic.
Which Scottish team earned a Europa League draw away to Galatasaray in 2021?
St John's.
In what decade did Hearts last play Champions League qualifiers?
1980s.
What Scottish player has played the most games in the English Championship this season?
Angus Gunn.
How many league games did Russell Martin win as Rangers manager?
2.
Okay, Roger Hannah, can you hear us?
I've got your bag. Bit of Blondie.
Okay. I thought you were going to get us all there. Which one?
Atomic.
I forgot
to pull up David Freeland today at our other job for not knowing Eddie Grant last night.
Who's Eddie Grant?
It's David Freeland and Dylan McGeoch are both younger than you. You've got to bear that in mind.
Yeah. Not only did he not know Eddie Grant, he got the name of the song that he was listening to wrong.
Did he win on Beat the Pundit last night?
No, the Dazzler did.
Oh, so he did.
He was against David's school friend, you remember?
Oh, yes. Oh. Yes. I do remember it well. 30 seconds on the clock to you, Roger. Same set of questions. Your time starts now. Craig Bellamy joined Celtic on loan from which English team?
Newcastle.
Which former Rangers player started for Bosnia and Herzegovina last night?
Nikola Katic.
Which Scottish side earned a Europa League draw away to Galatasaray in August 2021?
St Johnson.
In what decade did Hearts last play Champions League qualifiers?
The noughties.
Which Scottish player has played the most games in the English Championship this season?
Well, that's a really good question. I am going to say Hurst.
Okay, John, do you think you've done enough? What do you think, John? He's hung up. He's really
he gave
feeling
up, isn't he?
No, he's still there. John, can you hear us? He's fallen asleep listening to Roger Hannah, which is understandable.
It happens a lot. Ask Mrs. Hannah.
And find out. Roger does start on minus one, remember. So Craig Bellamy joined on loan from Newcastle. 12 games, 7 goals, 2005. So Roger Hannah is now level. That's his minus one wiped out. John did get on the board though. He knew Nikola Katic started for Bosnia Herzegovina last night. I think people he was always called Croatian when he was here, but he switched, didn't he?
Yeah.
He switched international allegiance. You both got it, so we stay level. The Scottish team who drew away to Galatasaray in 2021 was St Johnstone. You both got it, we stay level. In what decade did Hearts last play in the Champions League qualifiers? It is the noughties, the 2000s. Roger gets it and goes one in front. The Scottish Championship player who's played the most games for an English Championship team this season is Tommy Conway.
Is it?
39. It's incredible to play that by this stage. Hurst 34, McBurney 30. So Roger is one up, but John got one more question.
Oh, right, okay.
The question was this: how many league games did Russell Martin win as Rangers manager? John, you said
2.
It's one, John. It's only one. All you had to do was get that on the board. You could have taken the main man to a tiebreaker, but I'm afraid you've overestimated Russell Martin's league ability. It was one game. Who was it against again? I can't remember. It feels like 6 years ago.
Hibs.
Is it home? I don't know. You could say it was Livy, no?
Oh, it was Livy. Ah, yeah. Max, the Hibs game was a cup game, wasn't it?
Livingston.
Max Aaron scored at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That feels like a lifetime ago. We've been through a lot this season.
It was actually when I left this show a couple of Mondays past, when Andy and I left with you. I switched on another radio station that had been directed to
Classical FM.
Russell Martin was being interviewed.
Heard, yeah.
And it feels like it feels like a lifetime ago. He was talking about some of the things that happened at the start of this season.
Why is he not wearing a suit? When will he cut his hair? All that sort of stuff that we used to get on this show. The pressing issues.
Yeah, yeah. And he was asked how he thought the Scottish Premiership title race would go, and he said he didn't want to say because it would be sensationalised by the Scottish media.
Oh, right, okay. Sorry, it's all their fault, is it? There we go. We'll see how history reflects on that. John, who's your team? It wasn't enough to win and beat the pundit tonight, but who's your team?
Celtic.
Right. Talk to us. The international break gives everybody time to calm down, reflect, take stock of where they are. Where are you?
Not in a great place, to be honest, but there's a lot of football to be played.
Is there enough?
Well, no, 7 games isn't a lot, to be honest, but the fact the other night I think since the last time all three teams won was the 10th of January in the same game week, so I think if anything, that just tells you there's a couple of twists and ties.
Yeah. Dylan, what have you made of your old team from a kind of a relative distance? You've gone over and watched on, I'm sure. You've been surprised that the way it's you know, it's kind of threatened to get good at times, but ultimately they come out of this break third place in the table. That surprised you?
Yeah, I think so. It's obviously you can only kind of score late winners. You can't keep that going. Do you know what I mean? I think Martin O'Neill's done well coming in before Nancy, and then obviously we don't need to speak much about how much that was a disaster, and then he comes back in, it looks like he's got it back going again, and then there's just a couple of results in there that it leaves Celtic with a bit to do, and it puts it back onto Hearts again. I think a couple of weeks ago it was in Celtic's hands, if they did win their games, but now you're relying on other teams dropping points, and I just don't feel the performances are there. The Dundee United game was poor. They tried to play the same way, and you think Martin O'Neill, with his experience, would have switched it up on that pitch a little bit, and maybe a bit more direct, and not just played football in front of them. So, yeah, there's still a few question marks about the squad and the players, but yeah, it's great. It's great viewing. I think it's great for Scottish football as well. And I've got people obviously over in Northern Ireland always asking about it and talking about results and stuff as well. So, I think a lot of people have took notice of how entertaining this season's been, but as Celtic fans, it's obviously not a great position to be in third place.
Not trying to go all deliberately literal, because I know what John means, and we talk about these twists and turns, but Celtic can't twist or turn, can they? You know, they pretty much need to be flawless, Roger, and then hope that whatever version of twisting and turning Hearts and Rangers do, it somehow means that they both drop off more than what Celtic can achieve between now and the end of the season for John to get his wish.
Yeah, I was actually listening to the chap we spoke about a minute ago, Paul, who was a Beat the Pundit contestant last night. You asked him, as a Celtic fan, his thoughts, and he said you can never count Celtic out. And he's right. I remember the year the helicopter changed direction. I think Celtic were 5 points clear of Rangers with 4 games to go, and Rangers somehow won it. The complication this time is there's 3 of them involved, and they'll all take points off one another. And the other complication is the other 3 teams in that top 6 are quality. Motherwell could take points off anyone at any stage. So I don't think anyone sitting here with 7 games to go, I don't think anyone will win 7 games.
No.
I know Callum McGregor said 5 or 6. 5 or 6 won't win the league for Celtic.
5, I genuinely cannot see it. I don't even know
that would mean Hearts would only win 3.
Yeah.
I can't see that at all. But
is that why we're all is kind of blind some of this? Because see, if it is just the 2 teams, you can measure that gap. You know what has to happen.
Yeah.
But when you throw a 3rd team in, you don't quite know, because you can measure their points, of course, but you don't quite know what the permutations are and how you need to outshoot both of them at the same time.
Yeah. So if you're going to be perfect, if Celtic are going to be perfect, Hearts are going to have to lose a couple of games. So, you know, who is going to beat Hearts?
Yeah. So if Rangers are the ones that are involved in taking the points off Hearts, Rangers need to then go and drop quite a few points elsewhere.
100%. So it's going to be fascinating. I spoke to Dylan this before we came on here. We've never seen anything like this. Never. So we don't have a sample size as to what might happen. One of the things I'm really fascinated by, I cannot wait to see what the fixtures are, because you think Scottish football is rife with conspiracy theories just now. Wait until you see the reaction to the fixtures coming out. Everybody will think their team's been done in.
Yeah, we're not very grown up about these things, are we?
No.
We'll see how that plays out. Could it be good though?
Yeah, it's great. I think, as you said, Roger, the fixture, can't wait for that. I think everyone will have their say on it. Somebody will be a victim of a couple of maybe away games in the bounce or something that you think it would favour their team. But yeah, I think we're all kind of waiting. Obviously, we're excited about what Scotland can do, but going back to domestic football, it's really exciting getting into this last run of games.
Thank you very much to John. It wasn't enough on Beat the Pundit. Roger Hanna strikes again to improve his position in the table. What about Paul, who's a Celtic fan on the other line? How are you feeling during this break, Paul?
Very pessimistic.
Yeah.
Spoke to you guys a few weeks ago, and Martin O'Neill kind of superseded my expectations, but actually where we are right now, it's a joke. I think the league is going to come down to Hearts or Rangers. I would imagine Rangers will win the league because, you know, when it comes head-to-head, they'll get the decisions they need to get. From a Celtic point of view, look, what I want to come on and say here is we need our club to completely change the way it's run. Unfortunately, that will mean, you know, does Desmond hang on to his shares? Probably, but he needs to go. Because this has been a joke. An absolute joke. You know, look, we've kind of held on to everything with Martin O'Neill doing this and that and, you know, getting by in games, but the business in January was a joke. We did not bring in quality at all. And we are seeing it now. I think Celtic are probably going to finish third.
See if they do, Roger. I wonder, because we're also excited about what happens at the end of the season. It's hard to look too far beyond that. But Paul makes good points about this bigger picture. Because let's say Celtic do manage to somehow grind this out, turn it round, win the league. That won't change. It won't change individually how bad the January transfer window was, and the window before that, and possibly the window before that. Martin O'Neill, well, people might phone in and have a different opinion if he wins the league, but he's not going to be the manager next season. Does Daizen Maeda and Rio Hatate hang about if everyone's saying that it was time already to get rid of them? Loan players will go back, other contracts that run out, Kasper Schmeichel's retired, all this sort of stuff. And now Paul's talking about Dermot Desmond and directors of football and chairman. I mean, what sort of summer could Celtic be in for either way?
Yeah, I'll give you a comparison. The last time Celtic didn't win the league, you remember Ange came in that summer, mm-hmm. and it was a kind of end of days feel about the place, not because Celtic had lost the league, but if you remember the turnover of players, the likes of Scott Brown was leaving that summer. Odson Edward mm-hmm. was about to be sold. Ryan Christie was about to be sold. There were other senior players who had just come to the end of their time at Celtic. And actually, it turned out to be the best thing possible for Celtic because the new manager came in with his new staff. There was a recruitment department who had lined up players with Ange. You know, if you remember, Ange went and got Kyogo first, and then in the next window brought in Maeda and Hatate and was bringing in players he knew. Carter Vickers came in, Jota came in, and it was a revolution in the playing department, the football department at Celtic. Something similar will happen. All these guys were signed in January who have been rubbish, Gordon.
But is the difference there, right? So the football department, Ange Postecoglou, was so good that nothing else then really mattered.
This is the challenge now. Celtic need to get a sporting director, director of football, head of recruitment, whatever you want to call that guy.
Should they be doing that now?
You would like to think they are doing that now. If they're not doing that now, it's a dereliction of duty. And they should be working on a head coach to work hand in glove with the head of recruitment so that, you know, when these guys are appointed in the summer, they can hit the ground running and go and get players in the way that Ange and his recruitment team did at the time. The guys who came in January will all go. They're all loan signings. They'll all go away again. Don't worry about that. But I also think the overhaul will be intensified because with the best will in the world, I don't see Arne Engels been there at the start of the next season. They knocked back a big offer from him, and not the type to agitate, but he will want to go and investigate if that move's still there. Hatate and Maeda, I think, have done their bit at Celtic. They've had their worst season, each of them, this season. There's been a lot of criticism of the two of them on this show, and I think their time is probably ready to go as well. Decision with a goalkeeper, won't be Kasper Schmeichel. Will it be Sinny Salo? Is he done enough? Or will it be a new goalie coming in? Or will it just be a backup goalie coming in? How is Jota?
Did he not keep a clean sheet for Finland against Elijah Just, New Zealand, as we now call him?
No easy games against the
Last
Kiwis.
Last night, Gordon Dale's favourite fact that Sinny Salo is an international keeper.
If only he'd remembered he came from Aston Villa.
He's racking up the caps. Anyway, shouldn't have distracted Roger with that.
But no, there will be an enormous overhaul of players, and that might be no bad thing because for all the sack the board chants, there's not going to be a big overhaul of ownership at Celtic. So the ownership in the past...
So you don't think you get the structural change that Paul's looking for? over the summer.
No, I mean, I just don't see how you do that. There was talk a few weeks ago of Willie Hockey fronting a new scheme that would allow shares to be bought in the name of supporters and supporters to have more of a say on the board and in the running of the club. That's gone kind of quiet in the last few weeks. I don't see Dermot Desmond or Ross Desmond going anywhere anytime soon. They've made, see, Gordon, they have in the past got some things right. They got Ange right. They get Brendan right a couple of times. They've won things. They've won an awful lot of things. But this season has been a real challenge.
It's a heck of a scenario to be in, Dylan, where in March, before we even know what happens at the end of the season, the wish list might be, can we have a new owner, chairman, director of football, manager, goalkeeper, an X amount of outfield players. That's the wish list from Paul and others. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I've seen, obviously, that there's times where squads go through a revamp. I think Rangers done it in the summer and Celtic done it with bringing Ange in and the recruitment side. But I've never seen it where people are wanting the full place emptied and just basically starting again. But like Roger said, I don't see Dermot Desmond and the family stepping aside. I think they'll always be there. But again, it's the infrastructure in the club where who's making these decisions, what's the manager going to be next year, who's recruitment, what's the squad going to look like, obviously the domestically with the fans, what's going on with the Green Brigade, all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of questions that the fans are wanting answered. But I think Martin O'Neill is just trying to been put in place to get them to the summer, hopefully a couple of trophies, and then you'd like to think that they've got a plan in place for going forward.
Thank you very much to Paul for taking the time. I know loads of you out there will have thoughts on those themes, so why not jump on board right now if you can, whilst I tell you about this.
The world's biggest music quiz for Cash for Kids Day.
Well, this will be good. Cash for Kids Day, back at the end of April, and we're doing something we've never done before. So we're hosting the world's biggest music quiz. We would love you to take part and hopefully become an official record breaker. There are some unbelievable prizes to be won, including £5,000 in cash, a 3-month meal subscription from our friends at HelloFresh. Just think of it, you're maybe a family man footballer, but you live away in Northern Ireland half the week and you want a HelloFresh subscription to keep you going. So that sort of thing. Dylan McGeoch, Gordon DL, you know, he's always on about what he gets up to when he goes home. I'm sure he could be doing with it as well, but you could win it amongst other things. So Cash for Kids providing, as always, genuinely life-changing help to children and young people in Glasgow, the West and Ayrshire. And right now, unfortunately, the demand for that help is greater than ever. So trying to do our bit by donating to Cash for Kids, not only will you be able to join us for the quiz, but you'll be doing some good as well. Oh, and did we mention you've gone up in the world? You know, like, I host Beat the Pundit and George Bowie hosts the 5K Minute. This quiz is going to be hosted by Ant and Dec. You may have heard of them. Quite a big deal. Are you familiar with their work, Roger Hannah?
I am familiar. Do they still do Biker Grove?
No, I think that just finished recently. But they're taking time out of their busy schedule to host this for us. The whole Rail network of radio stations is involved. It's all powered by the legendary music quiz Popmaster as well. And the date for your diary is Thursday, 30th of April, 1 p.m. You can make your donation to Cash for Kids at clyde1.com/cashforkids.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Dylan McGeoch and Roger Hannah are here. Give us a call, please, between now and 8 o'clock on 0141 951 1025. The rarest of Saturdays off for Clyde One Super Scoreboard tomorrow. So the last chance really to get your wish list in for who should play for Scotland, who shouldn't, what the team should look like, what you think can be achieved from it, what these friendlies are all about, and ultimately everything gearing towards the World Cup in this summer. So calls there as well. We've actually done quite a good bit on domestic football. If you want to keep that going, now would be a good time to get involved whilst I run this past you.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Love this question. Thank you to Thomas and Ban for sending it in. And a big thanks to Arcaplan Glasgow for helping us out with the teaser. Did you hear about the famous face that was in and around Hampden today?
You?
Absolutely not. Way more famous than that.
Go for it. Oh, Shinsuke
Nakamura, seen him, yeah.
Yeah, dough ball.
he was there indeed. And talk about cult hero status, because when I turned up at Hampden, I just a crowd of people, and I was, what's going on here? And it was him in the middle of it, pictures and all the rest of it, clearly held in very high esteem by half the city.
Yeah.
And the questions are related to that. So Thomas and Banff's been quick off the mark. Can you name Shinsuke Nakamura's 8 Celtic teammates that he played the most games with?
Oh, yeah.
So Nakamura's 8 Celtic teammates he played the most games with.
Neil Lennon.
Yes, that is one of them.
The holy goalie, Alfred Borage.
Top, 154 times they shared the pitch.
Stephen McManus.
Yes, second. Let's leave it there then, because that's a very good start. You've not got any wrong yet. That's 3 of 7. So we're looking for the 8 Celtic teammates that Shinsuke Nakamura played the most games with.
I'm just going to say, what were the video of him and Kieran Tierney today?
Great, isn't it? Reunited after all these years. Because you'll have seen the one way back. Kieran Tierney's a young kid at Celtic. He gives him his boots, doesn't he? And now they're back reunited.
And what other current Premiership player is in that Celtic dugout as a 10-year-old kid?
Is it Marcus Fraser?
Yeah.
It's not.
Oh, is it not?
Standing up behind, if you look at the
give me a clue, because I've seen it. That's going to do my head in.
He's scored in the Premiership this season. He even scored against Celtic, I think, this season.
It's Calvin Miller.
Kevin Nisbet.
Is it? Oh, there you go. That's not what I was thinking of. Anyway, they're reunited today. Kieran Tierney, Shinsuke Nakamura. See, just as an aside on that, I was down at training today, and to paint a picture, I was speaking to people from the SFA, wondering when Spain come, right? You know, when Germany come, when Spain come, it's a big game, it's a qualifier, it's massive. How many travelling media would come over? And they said about 30. That would be considered a lot, right? So when Spain come to town for that big night, you're looking at about 30. That's considered a lot. Guess how many Japan have got for this friendly?
104.
Yeah, 100. I was going to say 100. I don't know the exact number. You've just killed the story dead.
Yeah.
But someone said about 90 to 100 media for a friendly.
What's the reason behind that?
That's just the appetite for it. And obviously they've got a massive population, yeah. And so many. It was the same when Nakamura was a player here, yeah. Didn't he? He had a gang that would follow him around everywhere. But it was unbelievable. So people will have, if they're not aware of this, have maybe heard me speaking about it. You know, you get access to the first 15 minutes of training, you can do a bit of filming, whatever. The side of the pitch at Lesser Hampden was completely full. There was 100 Japanese journalists, as well as I don't know, a dozen or so local media. Roger, it is absolutely remarkable. 100 foreign journalists for a friendly.
It is. I mean, when Naka first came and Gordon Strachan signed them, there were newspapers and media outlets in Japan who sent staff to permanently live in Scotland and follow Naka's every move around the country.
And did they not even, right, saying they would interview him after every Celtic game, even if he didn't play?
Yes.
That's just unbelievable, isn't it?
And it's just, I think the media over there is a different culture. I mean, we think we're deeply immersed in it, and we are to an extent, Gordon. But, I mean, over there, they do take it to the nth degree.
Someone told me today as well, I believe it's true, that the national team manager for Japan every week goes to, you know, a domestic game or whatever to keep an eye on players, and every week holds a press conference. So like the equivalent, Stevie Clark goes down to watch Kilmarnock Hibs last week and holds interviews to tell everyone what he made of Finlay Curtis on the night.
Yeah.
I don't think he would go for it.
But for all the years, Dylan, that Naka was in the country, the favourite Naka story was one that Kenny Miller told on this show. Naka never really did any Scottish media, because he always said he's, you know,
he had an interpreter.
I think it was Naka and Maka.
This is the one
it?
He used to put in goals and had free kicks
at the time. And Kenny said that was nonsense. He could speak fine. And he said, he tells a story. They went to Rugby Park to play a game against Kilmarnock, and they got off the bus and they went into the away dressing room, and Gordon Strachan was gathering the players to give them the kind of pre-match instructions. And Nakamura's not there. So where is he? They check the toilets and he's not there, and they go out and he's not in the corridor, and somebody gets dispatched, I think it was Kenny, get dispatched back to the bus to look for him, and he was sitting in the back seat of the bus reading The Sun.
You just forget to get off.
He just forgot to get off. He was so just reading the paper,
just so engrossed in your copy.
It probably wasn't my copy, let me tell you.
You sleeping at the back of the bus. Exactly.
That was maybe it.
Just didn't fancy the warm up, didn't he? Just thought, I'm coming out for the free kicks.
Ian is on the line. How are you, Ian?
I'm good, thanks, how are you?
Good, thank you. What made you call tonight, Ian?
I'm just looking to get a wee shout out to the Scotland transplant football team heading to Dublin tomorrow to play in the Gift of Life Shield.
Brilliant. Tell us more, Ian.
Yeah, so this is the first of hopefully many where we'll be heading over to Ireland to play their transplant team and also Northern Ireland. We're playing in Dublin at 12 o'clock tomorrow.
That's amazing. So when you say the first, when is this a new thing, presumably? When was this formed? What's the recent history?
This will be the first one between the three nations. However, there has been transplant sport in the past where there's been World Cup. We were at the Euros last year. I think I was on for a shout-out just before that as well. And we'll hopefully be going to Frankfurt in September for the Transplant World Cup as well.
Brilliant. So what's the, you know, how did this, has this been on the go for many years though as a concept? How did you become involved? If, tell us what you can of your own story. You might not want to divulge everything, I appreciate, but...
So from transplant sports side of things, it's been going on for a few years now. Scotland only got involved kind of later 2024, following the World Cup in Italy, when Duncan McAuley, who's our founder, set it up, because when he asked why was Scotland not involved, the answer was Scotland don't play football.
Wow. Well, heard that a few times, to be fair.
Aye. Maybe we don't play football, but we'll certainly try.
And, I mean, Ian, there's obviously kind of serious side to that. What difference has these opportunities made to you and your teammates then?
So for a lot of our teammates, well, all of the teammates, we've all had a solid organ transplant, at least one within our lifetime. And it gives us an opportunity to get back onto the park and still play football because we're all so passionate about it.
I mean, that must be quite incredible for you and your teammates to maybe contrast, you know, where you were when times were a bit more difficult, and now to be able to run out on that pitch, that must be an amazing feeling.
Yeah, I think the big point from it is most of us probably say I don't think we would play football again, kind of what position would we be in, but so when we talk to each other, our stories are all so similar regardless to what kind of organ you've received, and it's not just about being able to play football, it's we've gone out there to put organ donation first. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's us giving back to our donors' families if the donor's no longer here, or saying thank you to your donor should they have been a living donor.
And dare I say, Ian, maybe the thought of, you know, not playing football again, that might have been the least of some of your worries, you know, when things were tough. So that must be a real sense of perspective.
Yeah, it was certainly. I hadn't played football for 5-6 years before transplant, and it was 4.5 years after that I got back into it when I seen a post on Facebook, and it's just grew from there. And yeah, well, as I say, we're hosting the Four Nations in May up in Dingwall with Ross County's partnership with it, and then hopefully we'll beat the World Cup as well.
When did you get your transplant, if you don't mind me asking?
November 2019.
Wow, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. What difference has it made to you?
Oh, massive difference. I always went through numerous times of people saying, but how do you feel? And I went, I feel fine, because that was the norm to me. But now when you look back on it, and it's like, oh no, I wasn't fine. Whereas now I'm playing football, I can coach my kids' football. It's just been life-changing.
Any way that people can get involved, lend you some support, what should we be looking out for?
We've got Scotland Transplant Active Football on Facebook. We're always sharing. We've been supported with Maggie's Purple Ball and Aid of Kidney Research UK. So we're always on the lookout for players, especially anybody that's in the position with it or even waiting to be transplanted. Then they should please get in touch with us and come along to training session, because we're not alone. We're here as a family, and they'll be more than welcomed into us.
Ian, good luck tomorrow. Can you let us know on Monday how you got on?
Of course I will. I'll give you a phone in on Monday, yep.
Excellent. Ian, yeah, well done.
Good luck over the weekend.
Just before we go, put a wee shout out to Gregor Cleland, our captain.
Go on, Gregor. Lead the boys to victory, hopefully. That was Ian on the line. There we go. Brilliant. Really nice to hear from Ian. Something a bit different.
Fantastic.
A bit of sense of perspective when we're all so heated about everything else. There we go. Think about the guys I've been through and just enjoying the beautiful game. How are you faring in this teaser? We're looking for the 8 Celtic teammates that Shinsuke Nakamura played with the most. Boric, McManus, Lennon.
On you go.
On you go. No, you shoot.
McGeady.
Yes.
121 times.
And Gary Caldwell?
Yes, 96. We'll get the rest when we return.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's been a quick show into the final part with Dylan McGeoch and Roger Hannah. The Scotland game is featured heavily. The build-up for us tomorrow, I should have mentioned earlier, the 21s are in action. They just actually passed up a really good chance. Of course, it was Barney Stewart who was involved in everything in front of goal just before the break. Wearing number 8, don't know how I feel about that, but I'll let it slide for now. And he's just missed a decent chance. Before the interval, Scotland 0, Czech Republic 0. We'll take a look at Partick Thistle, Ross County in a second. But very quickly, before we move on, I wanted to mention our new podcast sponsor, White Mackay. It's triple matured whiskey, crafted on the Clyde, like Super Scoreboard, and specifically like Hugh Keevans, if you think about it. They're proudly from Glasgow. They've been on the go for a while, but they're celebrated globally. So that's quite a list of similarities. If you ever miss the show, you can always catch up on the Rayo app or wherever you get your podcasts. So check out the Clyde One Super Scoreboard podcast, proudly supported by White Mackay Triple Matured Whiskey, a proper Scotch whiskey for proper football chat. WhiteMackay.com for more. And please, as always, drink responsibly. As I mentioned, Scotland 0, Czech Republic 0, the 21s. I'd imagine that'll be the halftime score unless anything changes. What are you thinking in the Championship tonight, Partick Thistle, Ross County?
I'm thinking home win. I thought they've dug out a couple of really important ones in the road recently. You know, the late win at Morton a couple of Fridays ago, and then that win at Raith Rovers on Tuesday night, when they didn't really seal it until deep into stoppage time. So you can't go away and win those games and then make a mess of it in your own patch. So I would think Thistle would get 3 points tonight, close the gap to 2 on St Johnstone, and then it's over to the leaders tomorrow.
I think the Thistle fan though summed it up earlier brilliantly, Dylan, where, yeah, of course, on paper, you know, Thistle would be favourites. They're at the other end of the league from Ross County. But it's high-stakes football every week at the moment. You go that Tuesday-Friday schedule. That's no further, that's no closer together than any other combination, but it feels closer. Yeah. There's something about playing twice in the same, you know, kind of midweek, if you like. So, you know, pressure on again, the Jags.
No, it definitely is. And I think, obviously, Matt Wilson will put that on to the boys, that there's no point in winning your game in hand and then going and dropping points a few days later. So, but then you've got to factor in that Ross County are fighting for the Leafs as well, and they know probably on paper they shouldn't be near where they are, and they've had a poor season, a lot of different managers, and they're trying to dig themselves out of a hole really. So there's a lot on the game, top and bottom.
Listen,
County got a great result against them earlier this season up there, didn't they?
In one of the Friday games. But then Thistle have beaten them twice since then, I think. I just think Mark is, they're on a bit of a roll. Whether they've left it too late, we don't know. I quite liked his remarks after the game at Kirkcaldy the other night, because I think, did Alex say in the show on Wednesday, the first time they won
it, up already.
You're kidding me.
No.
Who scored?
I'm not joking, honestly. It's just, this thing has just gone in, so I'll need to double check. It's only 3 minutes on the clock.
Scratch everything I've said in the last 2 or 3 minutes. What they'll do, if you're going to lose a goal, lose it early.
No, but because this is what they did in that Friday night game I referenced, remember? Remember, it was a blistering start from County. They were 2-0 up quite quickly.
I think there's a nervousness then over the fans after that.
They were also 2-0 up quite early against Inverness last week and didn't win County. So there's plenty of time for Thistle to come back into it. That's not the start I expected, to be honest with you. Having seen both teams recently, that's definitely not the start I expected.
It was actually the first minute Liam Lindsay scored. First minute. Not a good start for the Jags.
No, Jamie Lindsay,
sorry, hiya. Yeah. I had Partick Thistle in my mind there.
Yeah,
it's a poor start, isn't it? But as you said, Roger, if you're going to lose a goal, you lose it early and give yourself a chance. But yeah, I think that will kind of feed into nervousness with the fans and that as well, going expecting to capitalise on a good win and to go down the first minute. They've got a lot to do.
Well, that fan earlier on was right then, to be dreading it and be worried about the nervousness. I'm never going to talk about Thistle now without remembering the fan who called a couple of weeks ago saying doesn't want to go up because he doesn't like VAR.
Yeah.
So wants to stay in the Championship forever.
Right, okay.
It's quite extreme. And I know VAR annoys a lot of people. It just felt very extreme.
Anything from the other one in Kirkcaldy? United? Raith Rovers? Anything there yet?
Well, I think Gordon Dale's there. Because that says two teams, isn't it?
Aye, that's a long way from London.
Touching on that fan there, you think if they got promoted, he wouldn't enjoy himself going to some of these stadiums?
Aye, he's not going.
Celtic Park, Ibrox,
not interested.
Dear.
0-0 between Raith and Ayr.
New centre forward for Ayr tonight, Lucas McRoberts' debut. Good luck.
What's happening to your team?
Not much. That's why it's a debut for Lucas McRoberts up front. Try and get a goal.
Because is it not next week? Hugh Keevans is meant to be going for his big Scott Brown meet and greet that he donated £1,000 to Cash for Kids for.
I know. I mean, you do have to feel sorry for Bruni, don't you? You know, it was going so well. The form has slumped. There's been injuries. The very difficult meeting with the new fans group in midweek. And just when you hope you're going to turn the corner, Keevans appears at your door.
I know. It really does just rub salt in the wounds, doesn't it?
But listen, Sugar will love it. Fantastic new corporate hospitality facilities down there. He will have a great day. Bruni will roll out the red carpet for him. He might try and put him under it at one stage, but it will be a great day. And what more could you ask? Bruni versus the Mushroom on a Saturday afternoon. It'll be brilliant.
Brilliant. Well, Thistle trailing at the moment. Let's finish where we started by looking at that Scotland game tomorrow and final thoughts of Steve Clark.
The Japanese side in particular have a very interesting way of playing. I found them a really good team to watch, if I'm being honest, in the preparation for the game, the way they play, the way they approach the matches. So it will be a tough game for us. For us is to look at one or two things that are different. Maybe look at one or two different personnel across the squad. Try and use as many players as possible over the two games. But also to try and get positive results that we can continue to feel good about ourselves.
Let's sum up.
Yeah, I think it does. And listen, anything he can learn in these next two games against Japan and the Ivory Coast will be precious. If he believes he's seen enough in a Finlay Curtis, a Tommy Conway, a Robbie McCrory, Ross McCrory, any of these guys, and thinks, yep, they can come to America with us, then it will be worthwhile. I think you're better off playing quality opposition like Japan and Ivory Coast than maybe some of the opponents we've played prior to other tournaments. He's maybe learned something from that. It will be a proper test. They are two proper games, but we're a proper team now, Gordon.
Yeah, I think obviously, as you said, that he wants to learn a few things about some players, and realistically I think majority of the squad picks itself, probably the starting lineup as well, but a lot of the positions probably you know that they're going to be in the summer. There's probably a couple that need answered, and that's probably what he's wanting to see and test, and he knows what some boys can do, so it's an opportunity for new faces coming in to prove that they're going to be on that plane.
Do you think Finlay Curtis, I feel like he's the headline act in the sense Roger is the only one, you know, called up for the first time. Think he'll start the game?
No. I don't know.
No chance.
I think he'll see some minutes over the next couple of games. I'm not convinced he'll start the game tomorrow. I think the starting team tomorrow, I know I've spent 2 hours talking about the fringe guys, I think you'll recognise the ones who start tomorrow, but I do think there'll be changes. I think he'll fully utilise his subs in both games, and he'll want to get a look at some of these fringe players, even if it's just for 25 minutes, half an hour.
So you think a recognisable start but change quite quickly?
Yeah, I think obviously you want to give them minutes, but you might be thinking of, right, I kind of know roughly my starting 11 for the summer, but I want to see these sort of players, if they come on and make an impact, that I might neutralise in the summer. Do you know what I mean?
Could you see a start for a Dominic Hayam or something? I know it's not like glamorous, but you know, he's playing for Wrexham, they're doing well, he has been in squads before. Grant Hanley hasn't played for Hibs recently, that leaves kind of Suter and McKenna as the only two. Is that possible?
I think so, yeah, I think so. And again, it's probably, if they need to make changes in certain games, like who can they trust to bring on, and who do they suit playing beside, the connections, yep, and all these relationships. So I don't expect now majority of the new boys coming in to go and be in the starting 11 for the first game in the summer, but it's all who can impact off the bench, who's got good connections, who plays well together, and this is the kind of answers and the questions we want, yeah, to be asking.
Jack Hendry there as well, remember, who I think is doing well, he's playing every week with Al Ittifaq in the Saudi Pro League, is at a decent level, so you know, he's another consideration there. And I think it would be wrong not to mention the captain. A 91st cap tomorrow, he draws level with Jim Leighton,
yes,
second in the overall cap list. If he plays both games, he is out there on his own. And it's only another Liverpool legend, Kenny Dalglish, ahead of him.
He will feature in both games as well, won't he?
Yeah.
You would imagine at some point. So that takes some, let's remind everyone of the exact arithmetic of it. So 90 at the moment, Jim Leighton's on 91. Let's assume, touch wood, he's fit and everything, Andy Robertson goes to 92,
yeah,
come Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. And that leaves him 10 behind Kenny Dalglish.
Yep.
Yep. he'll get a minimum of three at the World Cup.
Two before more. The World Cup, remember? Curaçao in Venezuela, potentially.
Yep, so three. We're up at five more.
Knockout stages.
So, will they match the cap record in the final, or will they need to wait till the...
Hopefully.
I would need to get my pencil out and work
I think
it out.
We might need to wait until after that. But anyway, we'll look forward to it tomorrow. A rare day off for Clyde One Super Scoreboard with the fixtures all over the place. But it means that there's plenty of stuff to look back on when we speak next. Enjoy the rest of your Friday, because the GBX teaser is up next. Oh, goodness sake, I forgot we hadn't rounded off the teaser.
Scott Brown.
Nakamura's eight teammates he played the most with at Celtic. Lennon, Caldwell, McGeady, McManus, Boric.
Scott Brown.
No.
Samaras.
No. Oh dear, I should
Lee
give
Naylor.
More time. Yes.
Two Scott more. McDonald.
Yep. One more.
Ian Venegar of Hessling.
Well done. Enjoy the GBX. I was just making it interesting. And we'll speak to you soon.